From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Outraged Bahrainis are burying those killed in this week's government-led crackdown in the capital. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that marchers took to the streets again today against Bahrain's monarchy and ran into more trouble with the military.
This very large crowd started walking ostensibly towards Salmaniya Hospital, but then they turned to go into Pearl Circle, the place where they had been cleared from just the day before. And as they got close, as the front edge of this very long line of marchers got close, the sound of shots erupted, scattering everybody. I think I saw one person with a gunshot wound. I can't confirm that yet. They were carrying him off in a pickup truck. It looked like blood on the leg.
NPR's Peter Kenyon. Anti-government protests are also raging in other parts of North Africa and the Middle East, inspired by the recent uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia. Former Tunisian President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali is in grave condition in a hospital in Saudi Arabia. The 74-year-old was ousted in the popular uprising back in January. Eleanor Beardsley reports he's said to have suffered a stroke and fallen into a coma.
Saudi officials are keeping a tight lid on details surrounding the condition of the former Tunisian dictator. But a family friend, quoted by news outlet Al Jazeera, said Ben Ali had slipped into a coma 2 days ago while being treated for his stroke in a Jeddah hospital. Tunisian newspapers are also reporting that he had a stroke. Ben Ali ran his tiny North African country with an iron fist, quashing political opposition and human rights groups. But he received the support of the West because he claimed to be keeping Islamist extremists at bay. Tunisians interviewed on French radio said they felt no remorse for their former leader, although some expressed disappointment that he would never be brought to justice in his home country. Ben Ali is thought to have stolen more than $10 billion during his two-decade rule. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
The Taliban are claiming responsibility for a suicide bombing in Afghanistan that killed at least 10 people. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports that a separate bomb killed one Afghan soldier in the south.
A government spokesman in the eastern city of Khos said that the bomber detonated a pickup truck full of explosives near a police checkpoint, injuring scores of people and damaging buildings. The local police chief told NPR that his forces had been tipped off that the car bomber was in the city and shot at the driver when he failed to stop at the checkpoint. Near the border with Pakistan, Khos continues to be a battleground between U.S. forces and several insurgent groups. The city is isolated from the Afghan capital by a road that has still not been rebuilt because of steady violence. A U.S. airstrike has killed more than 30 insurgents in a remote village in eastern Kunar province overnight, according to a NATO statement that said no civilians were harmed. Afghan officials said they could not confirm details about the strike. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow's up 42 points. This is NPR News. The Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly says lawmakers intend to vote perhaps today on Republican Governor Scott Walker's bill to strip away collective bargaining rights from public workers. The state Senate had planned to vote yesterday, but all Democratic senators disappeared, apparently in a bid to force a Republican majority to negotiate. Several of them escaped to northern Illinois for a few hours. Thousands of teachers and other workers protested at the state capitol, forcing schools to close because of high absences. It was 10 years ago today that NASCAR racing legend Dale Earnhardt died. Scott Graff of member station WFAE reports his death has led to widespread safety improvements in the sport.
Earnhardt died on February 18, 2001, on the last lap of the Daytona 500, the sport's biggest race. The seven-time champion died instantly when his famous number 3 black Chevrolet crashed head-on into a racetrack wall. The death of a NASCAR legend shocked the sport. Almost immediately, NASCAR went to work on ways to make racing safer. A head and neck restraint system was soon mandated. Tracks have since implemented a safer barrier system that cushions the blow to drivers when they hit a wall. And 3 years ago, NASCAR made its race cars bigger and boxier to help make them safer. The decade since Earnhardt's death has proved to be one of the safest the sport has ever seen. No NASCAR driver has been killed since Earnhardt's death. For NPR News, I'm Scott Graff in Charlotte.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 47 points at 12,365, and the NASDAQ was up 8 points at 2,840. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.